And the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, can you say an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take our declaration of understanding. Welcome to the school of prayer. Can you welcome somebody on your left and on your right? Tell them welcome to the school of prayer. And tell the person's name is Ruth. Tell the person, smile. Welcome to the school of prayer. Say, no matter how the day has been, the Lord is good. This person's name is not Ruth. Still tell the person the same thing. The person is not smiling. All right, the Lord is good. All right, so let's take our declaration of understanding as we usually do. One, two, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right. Now, there was something I wanted to share on last week. I was supposed to pray with that. And I think I should be able to do that today. All right? So, let's open our Bibles to start, therefore, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to read, I think, a kind of long portion. But because it's quite long, you may see me jump in a few verses just to conserve some time. So, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, what am I trying to do? Maybe if I set the things right from the beginning to guide me in what I'm trying to do. Deuteronomy 32. Well, I've been talking about the praises of God. And there was something I said, or I've been saying again and again. I said it again last time. And that's the fact that we don't bribe God. We don't offer God our praises so that He will do something. Praise releases God's power. That is true. But that is because the opposite that we were doing was hindering it. Do you get what I'm saying? If you connect your pipes right in the house, water will flow. Not because the pipe is an offering to water, but because the absence of the proper connection prevented the flow. If you wire your house correctly, power will come in. Your wiring is not an offering to the power company. It is your own connection to their flow of electricity. Is that clear? So that is what praise is. I need to keep saying it. It is not something we offer to God to provoke Him to act. How many times have I said this? It's not up to 50 times by now. Maybe a little more, right? So am I still saying it? Because people need to hear. They've heard the opposite thing. If you want God to move, start praising Him. There's some truth to that, but don't say it with the idea that it will make Him move. No. The idea is that you will now allow Him. Before, you were hindering by not having the proper perspective. I've said it again and again. Praise is simply the proper perspective about life as it relates with God. If you call Him Creator, you have just come to understand why you are here. Do you understand? You know, again and again, I see scientists say they discovered one star or one exoplanet or one star that's, it's orbiting a star. The star is 4 billion light years away from the Earth. Hopefully, it will give us an idea what happened when the universe was first formed. And I start laughing. Now, you know, I've heard that thing so many times, and they still don't have any idea. They still don't have any idea. Do you know why? Simply because the premise is so, let's manufacture English for today. The premise is so unpraisely, that is the opposite of the praise of God. They've said that life came to be by chance. So that's why everybody is still fiddling around, trying to find out what happened at the beginning. The day you understand that in the beginning, God created, Do you know, you can still be a scientist and you see things differently. Oh, no, God will show you things. Because your mind, your heart is tuned to receive truth. That's what I mean by praise. So praise is saying, look, he's a creator. Not as if, let's go and make him feel like a creator. It is because he is the creator. Imagine that a car, yeah, very good illustration, just dropped in my mind. You want to move out of a particular place, and the car is parked there, or a lorry, let's use a lorry, a big vehicle is parked there. And you want to move, and you're looking around, who parked this vehicle? Who parked this vehicle? Now let's assume that I'm walking past, you don't know me, you just stop and say, sir, please come and move your vehicle. What am I going to do? I'm going to look at you. Excuse me. Is everything okay? No matter how much you praise me, I can't move that vehicle. The most handsome pastor, the anointed man of God, the vehicle is not my own. Oh, the husband of Uphoma, the father of Akindu David, the vehicle is not my own. But then after searching around, you finally find the owner where he just finished eating his opa and he's running out. And they say to you, that is the owner and the driver of that truck. So, excuse me. Is that praise? I mean, like, is it? Have you done anything? You have just identified him. Then you now say to him, excuse me, sir. It appears like you're wrongly parked. And you've been obstructing movement for the last 15 minutes. Please come and move your vehicle. Assume it's otherwise nicely behaved person apart from the parking problems, all right? He will say, oh, I'm so sorry. He will climb into the cabin, start the vehicle, engage the gear, and move. By identifying him, you have solved your problem. Not because the man will go home and say, do you know, one man saw me today. He called me the driver of the truck. My head sparked. I went to drive it. Is that what happened? As I was passing, the whole neighborhood was shouting, driver, driver, driver. Oh my God, I felt so good. Ah, my wife, you'll have seen me when I was driving. It doesn't mean anything. When you say this is the driver of the truck or the owner of the vehicle, you have just properly identified him. Now listen to this. In spiritual things, if you don't give that proper identity, you obstruct the flow. So you must always get your praise right. You must get your praise right. Please, I've been saying this for some weeks. You must get your praise right. Now, are you seeing what I'm saying now? I'm not saying you must get your songs right. I'm not saying you must get the waving of the hands right. I'm not saying you must get the music right. Even though it's good, you get all those things right. I'm not saying you must get the posture right. The posture is good. But what I'm calling you must get the praise right is you must know who to ascribe something to. Do you get my point? There's a song. I just feel like using a moment to correct. People sing it a lot. Most people make a mistake. This is just simple fact. You are high. You know that song? How do they sing it? You are highly lifted up. See, if you understand the concept, highly lifted is kind of wrong. What the Bible says is that you are high and lifted. Highly makes it look as if you are making an effort to achieve something. No. Fact, the Lord is high. He's lifted above all else. He's infinite. He's final. There's nothing beyond him. The real song is, the scripture is, you are high and lifted. We sing it, most people sing it wrongly, you are highly lifted. That, I don't know where we got that from. First time I learned this song was, you are high. I mean, it's Isaiah that said it. Alright? He's high and lifted, not highly lifted. Okay? Just for those who, everyone was saying, are you serious? Are you serious? Yes, I am serious. That's the scripture. Okay? Now, just a small aside, just to correct that song. So, the Lord, I was saying, is lifted, is high. You ascribe, getting your praise right, that's what I'm saying. You are not ascribing greatness to him so as to make him greater than he is. You are understanding that this is where greatness lies. I say it all the time, God does not take cheap glory. What I mean is that he's not looking for something that is not his. That if you give it to him, then he will give something to you. No. Just like that driver of that truck. Remember? By recognizing, by acknowledging, by letting him know it is your vehicle we are talking about, then the problem is solved. I have been in church before. They are looking for the owner of a particular vehicle. The person does not know it's his car. You have not been in church. Or you say, please, we are looking for... That's a mistake. You say, we are looking for Enugu LX 999 ZZZ. In fact, the owner is the one making the announcement. Because, you know, these days, you know, when we were very children, at least in nursery school, I remember, one of the things you had to do was to, they were asking the class the number plate of your father's vehicle. Yeah, at primary school, I had to do that, okay? So I grew up thinking that you always knew, but then when I became older and I realized that my own number plate, as I'm talking now, I'm thinking, God, please remind me. I just know that there's only one part of it, and I know RBC. Do you know why? Red blood cell. You know, we call red blood cells. We doctors call it RBCs. So I know, so my residents, they know my vehicle because of the red blood cell. That's part of the number. I don't do it. Difficult. So very common in churches. So people have now learned to give the whole description. It's a blue E300. You have to describe it. That's when you announce that, oh, it's my car. Then you drop it. Now, where I'm going is that, you see, if you don't tie the ownership properly, they can't solve the problem. Usually they are parked wrongly. They are obstructing flow of traffic and stuff like that. They're inside the church. They just managed to park and run inside. But then when you identify the owner, you solve the problem. Again, I don't know which other word to use. You're not hailing him. You are properly linking. You are properly positioning. When it comes to life, it's like that too. You are properly giving God. God doesn't want cheap glory. That's what I'm saying. You won't go and tell him that, who parked this car? And then say, maybe I forgot, like somebody parked my car. All right, that Bentley. You understand? Okay. Is it the Bentley or the Rolls Royce? I did not go and meet Obina. Say, Obina, come and move your car. I'm sure you have understood now. You have understood. Okay? So, anytime we get our praise wrong, that's when by getting our praise right. Anytime we get our praise wrong, we hinder the flow of the power of God. Let me say it again. Every time we get our praise wrong. Now, please, there's a reason why I'm saying this, okay? Because there is a problem in modern, is it really modern? It's a segment of Christian preaching in which God's glory, not saying it doesn't take cheap glory, it's just his own that he collects. We call him creator because sometimes we forget that he is. There are many things I'm going to talk about that we forget that he does. The one I want to talk about today is what began last time. I wanted to teach it last time, but it didn't go. So I had to go the way the Spirit wanted. I believe he will help us today. Is God's praise, remember, in the time of trouble. That's what I said. What is the praise of God in our time of trouble? Now we understand what praise is now. It's not what is the song. What's the tune? How do we clap? No. It's when we are in trouble. Who do we, now listen, this is very interesting. Who do we ascribe the cause to? Who do we ascribe the potential or the solution, the potential solution to? Let me give an example. Very, very practical. All right? We live in a nation, those of us who are here were Nigeria. Some years ago, you know what I'm talking about. It's very sad, but I keep using it as an example. There was a lot of crisis. Just now we're praying about banditry, you know, troubles in different parts of the country. And then there was, many of us remember Madala bombing. A church was bombed. A lot of, at least dozens of people died, if I remember well. Then the people have entered churches and killed people. There's this story in this country now that Donald Trump says he's going to come in, guns are blazing, to fight those who are fighting the Christians. Some have said there's no persecution of Christians in Nigeria. Now, anybody saying that has been dishonest because, now, I'm not trying to be political and, you know, side Christians. No, it's a fact. It's not new. You know, Christians have suffered that all over the world. So we're not trying to make it look like it's something that the world has never seen before. Look, I said it last time. I know people whose fathers is a family that their father got killed while they were on the phone with the killers, Islamists. It's not something hidden. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So it's not any. So all these troubles came, and the churches gathered. So what do we do? I know what they said. Let us go and march on the streets and demand that the government protect us. That is getting our praise wrong. Now, I need to emphasize the part of Christian persecution because of that. The Christians responded. I was talking to somebody one day. The crisis in Benue. What is the government doing about it? If the government wanted to stop it, they could stop it. You're getting your praise wrong. You're getting your praise wrong. Soon back, I used to tell the story. He came from a polygamous home. God blessed him so much. And he prospered him. As a young man, he was very hardworking. When he gave his life to Christ, he was very devout. And an elder sibling, half-sibling, that he used to help. And that one had this habit anytime, just to justify the fact that he was coming to him for help. Say, if our father had not died so early, my life wouldn't be like this today. Reverend said he used to endure the thing until one day he couldn't take it anymore. So he shouted at him, "Egmo, was that father of yours not my father?" Do you get what I'm saying? Anybody can have trouble, but please, it's not the fact that your father died early. That's what he was saying. That after all, this same father was my father. But God has blessed me now, despite that, to be able to help you. And you are still telling the story of the fact that he died. I mean, he helped you for longer because you're older than me, than he helped me. But I was able to break out of that constraint that his absence created. Maybe we couldn't go to school the way we should. Nobody was there to pay and help us study instead of having to study and work at the same time. So when we sit down as people and start giving excuses in the time of trouble, we are getting our praise wrong. We are getting our praise wrong. It's very important. There was something I was saying earlier. Please, I've been teaching this for some time. I'll be honest with you. I don't get many people who teach exactly the same thing. I'm not saying I'm not the only one that teach that, but the more popular teaching in the body of Christ actually takes a lot of God's praise and gives to the devil. God parks a car, that's our proverbial car we'll be talking about, obstructing motion in an area, they will start hunting for the devil to come and move his car. I don't know whether you heard that. The Lord parks a car and is obstructing movement, and then we say, there's movement obstruction here. The car is not properly parked. God never parks a car like that. Anytime there is God, there is movement. Anytime God is there, there's motion. You will never see God block anything. How could he block it? He is a God of movement. He's a God of motion. He does not block. God is totally moving. The devil is totally stationary. No? Yeah, we say God is totally good. Devil is totally bad. Therefore, when we interpret bad, and the thing is, it appears bad, we call it the devil. So you go and hold the devil to come and move his car. Do I need to tell you he can't? Do I need to tell you he cannot? He cannot. Why? He wasn't the one that packed it. The key or the code to move that vehicle is not with him. It's with the owner of the car. Please, we have to get it. See, I know this doctrine is not popular. I've heard preachers call it blasphemy, this thing I'm saying. But I'll still preach it because it's the truth in the scriptures. And those who preach the opposite generally is because they don't read a huge chunk of the scriptures. And when they read it, they find a way to excuse some things that God said clearly. And they say he only allows. He does not do. No, the Bible didn't say so. The Bible did not. There are times God says he allows some things. I know. Do you get my point? For example, you can decide that he allows you to eat meat instead of manna. Even though his will was what? Manna. But even the meat was the one that sent it. So sometimes I'm saying that God does never, it never gets to a point where God allows. Usually when he so-called allows, it only allows us to walk below his will. Please follow me. This is important because, you see, if we don't get our praise right, the power will not flow. I'm trying to explain something here. That we have this idea, which unfortunately is not scriptural. that if it doesn't look good, it can't be God. Now, this is the problem. We now start telling the devil to get out. So, you know what the devil does? He runs farther away from where the car is parked, and it still doesn't move. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, that car, I'm just going to illustrate something. He didn't park it. He couldn't move it. And then we increase our prayer level. We keep firing more and more, insisting the devil has to do something about the vehicle that's blocking movement. It's blocking traffic. And the devil say, hey, I think now I need deliverance from these Christians. Because I don't know, of course, he knows who owns the vehicle. Maybe if he's seen it, there's a lot that drops that kind of thing. But you're not listening to him, and we shouldn't. But we've gotten our prayers wrong. I like to summarize it like this. So instead of repenting, usually that is what is needed when God causes an obstruction. We are busy rebuking because we say we have the power. We have overcome the devil, which is not a lie. Except that this is not the devil's problem. We got the praise wrong. Things that sometimes could have been solved in a year, we are on it for 3 years, 4 years, 5, 6. And when people come and tell us the truth, we still reject it because we don't want to. Because one of the reasons, let me tell you something about doctrine. I've said it again and again. Doctrine is not about ability to tie words together. It's where the heart is, whether the heart is willing. For example, if pride is in the heart, so if I believe something, it will mean I've been wrong for the last 3 years. I will just refuse to believe it so that I don't have to admit the fact that I'm wrong. So you argue from now to tomorrow, I can't understand what they're saying. That's the problem a lot of times. If we don't get the praise right, please, let me say to the church, please, drop this idea that God does not cause problems. You can't rebuke a devil that God authorized as an example to stay in a place. You can't. The weapons of your warfare are mighty. How? Through God. I say it all the time to just get it, you know, very easy to explain. Could Job have rebuked that Satan? Think about it. Could he have said to him, you will not take my goods? When God said, I place the goods in your hands. Each time he drew boundaries for that Satan. You can take all the things, you can't touch him. And that Satan went wild. Took everything he had, including the children he had. And God said, all right, so, I said, it's because he's still okay. He said, all right, good. I permit you to touch him, but you can't kill him. Now, could Job have rebuked that devil? Please, this thing I'm saying is, you need to get your doctrine right. In the context of today, you need to get your praise right. Because one of the things, you know, God is always trying. The most important thing to the Lord is not what we get or what do not get. It's what we become. The most important thing to the Lord is not what we get or don't get, but what? What we become. One of the things he does, I know it's not sound faith preaching, but it's a fact. One of the things he does is to command problems to get your attention. He does it. And when we're about to read, all right, he's going to show it clearly. There is no escaping it. There is no way you want to play on the Hebrew word to change what is written there. Let's open it. Yeah, because you know, we like to find an obscure translation that nobody has ever seen before. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Like I said, we are going to read a very long portion. In fact, it's the whole chapter, almost. But because it's pretty long, not the whole chapter. Yeah, I'm going to read at least 30 of the verses. We are going to around verse 43 from verse 1. So because of that length, I am going to jump here and there. I'll let you know when I do. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Please, I'll jump to save time. Verse 3 says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, notice what he said. What is he doing? He said, I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. What is the name of our God? Look at verse 4. The rock. He said, his work is perfect. For all his ways are just. What's the name of our God? A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So we can say this many ways. The Lord is a rock. The God, the faithful God. The just God. The righteous and upright God. That's the name of God. There's one exercise we started in my house a few weeks ago. Every week, everybody contributes a name of God. Do you understand? It just thinks like this. As you are studying your scriptures, write something that you discover as the name of God. This is one of them. The rock. Sometimes we paraphrase it. The rock. The Lord of perfect work. The God of faithfulness. Stuff like that. That's what we'll do. So Moses is telling them here, is the rock. That's his name. The God of faithfulness. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Now notice something he said. Now, in the midst of this righteous, that related with this righteous God, his people do something sometimes. Verse 5, they have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect. That is, they are behaving not like his children. So do you thus repay the Lord? I mean, verse 6, O foolish and unwise people. He said, verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the years of all generations. Ask your father and he will inform you. You ask your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of inheritance. He talked about how God took care of Jacob. In verse 12, he said, the Lord alone guided him. I jumped a number of verses there, all right? We jumped from verse 9 all the way to verse 12. He said, the Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. He ate the produce of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. God blessed them tremendously. That's the nation of Israel. In verse 14, you see that written there. In verse 15, now says, but Jeshurun, or Israel, grew fat and kicked. He said, oh, you have grown fat, thick, and sleek. How did they kick? They forsook God who made them. That is, then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. That's the name of God, the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known. New gods who arrived lately, who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread, that is, they didn't fear. You neglected the rock who begat you and forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Now notice this, I'm going to slow down. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. For they have made me jealous with what is not God. Now, please, before I continue reading, let me just get the context clear. This is the song of Moses. Are you getting my point? Yeah, Moses wrote this. They were supposed to learn it and sing it. They were supposed to know it by heart. A lot of things happening had not happened. Sorry, a lot of things he's writing about had not happened. But he said they will happen. And this is how God will behave. And this is your way out of trouble. Into deliverance. They were supposed to learn this song, cram it, teach it to their children. Because songs are very beautiful for memorizing things. The whole of Psalm 119, as plenty as that psalm is, 189 verses? 170. Psalm 119. 176. If you write into a song, you, listen to me, we learn it in 1 week. Once you put rhythm to it, because it's in segments, 8 verses each. If I gave you one of these long hymns to memorize, you can't memorize it. But once I say, Imot, you'll finish the whole thing. Even if there are 7 stanzas, it's just a matter of time. And so that's why God gave us songs. Songs help us remember things, and then they remove the monotonity out of things. No, they don't become redundant. If I keep on saying, for the Lord is good, for the Lord is good,
For the Lord is good. Like, you know, it starts sounding funny. But if I say, for the Lord is good, for the Lord is good, for the Lord is... I make that statement 3 times. But in a song, it sounds nice all the time. So you can sing it for a full hour and you're not tired of it. That's why God gave us songs. Moses wrote this song so that the people will never have, they will never forget. They will know why people, now listen, they will know why the people of God get into trouble. And they will know how to get out of trouble. One of the things he said here, the Lord led him about and there was no foreign God with him. One of the tragedies in, I don't know about church in Kenya, church in, what do you call it, Madagascar, the church in Europe, but I'm talking about the one in Nigeria. Eh? The Lord leads us about and it goes around with a lot of witches. Did you hear what I said? You didn't get it? In Nigeria, most churches, the Lord leads them about, but there are many witches with him. There are many neighbors with him. There are many people who don't like them with him. You're not getting what I'm saying? Go to church. We like to kill witches. I say it again to the glory of God. I give him the praise. I have never rebuked witches in my life. Never. Never. Ever. I have never. As an adult, maybe when I was a child, I don't know. But when I began to make my prayer decisions, never prayed against witches. Never. I've never cast them out of my neighborhood. I never told them they can't cross my fence. No, I left that challenge there. I said, come and cross. Brethren, I have never. This is a witch. It doesn't concern me. It doesn't. It's not my problem. Even if you identify and show me a picture of the person they coven, it does not bother me. If you're a witch and you walk in my office, next morning I will shake your hand very well and ask you how the family is. I will invite you to Bible study. Whether you're a man or a woman, I will invite you. Your witchcraft is your problem. If anything, I'm feeling sorry for you. See, men, let me tell you how to identify witches and what you can do to overcome them. You want to hear? Men, no, I'm not talking about women. Men, do you want to know? If they appear in your dreams, they are not witches. Let's get that clear. If they give you something to eat, they are not witches. If a woman is trying to seduce you, that is a witch. That is the witch. That is the witch. That is the witch. The one that's doing, that one is safe. Do you get my point? Well, if I approach, I'll kill you today. I beg you, my friend, get away with you. Should I buy you a bottle of Coke? You look like you're hungry. You know, God, some people, no, serious. When you have low blood sugar, you start feeling, you start misbehaving. You can't go to church and be fighting witches. Just resist their, which one do I look for now? They resist the call. That, man, have I told you today now how to catch, how to forget witch, how to get rid of witches, how to rebuke them permanently? Prayer doesn't stop them. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, you will not afflict me. Depends on what you are eating. Have you seen men who go to go and pray, and their girlfriend goes with them and she stays in the car? See, let me tell you. So men need to hear this. You brought the witch for prayer. In case you do not know, that man who's praying for you is in league with that girl. Yes, you will keep, that problem is not going away. You know why it can't go away? You yourself know. Why will it go away? Before, when they sell us software, we buy it and walk away, right? Now, what do we buy? Subscription. So we'll keep coming back. Those of you who are going there for deliverance, you have subscribed for deliverance. You must pay every month. You don't get it. You must pay every month. How can the problem go away? The man has like 20 of you on his, so that, no, you are the one paying. This is one of your payroll. So every month, each one of you drop offering of 50K between 50 and 100. The guy will finish house in his village. Christmas is close by. The Lord led him about, and what? There was no foreign God with him. It's a major problem we have in the church, in this our country. The Lord leads the Christians about, and he goes around with a lot of witches. Yeah, they decide where he can go, where he can't go. There was one movie done recently. Let me talk about it. I won't mention the name of the movie. Unfortunately, my wife has been telling me, say, please now. I should forgive them. As long as the movie is on YouTube, I'm sorry, you have not yet repented. He said, God, prosper, don't tell anybody, because the witches can kill your unborn children. How come I always get this response amongst believers when I say that? And the people who did the movie,
don't seem to know, that's what the response should be. That, see, if God is blessing you, keep it secret. Keep it secret. Don't tell anybody. And they did a movie to show us about how a Christian man and a Christian woman, the woman was pregnant and they didn't tell her mother. And then one day they went to give the mother something. And she was at home with her brother, that's the uncle now, another woman. And they discovered that this Christian woman was pregnant. They did not know. Now she's 8 months pregnant. And then after they left, they say, you kept it from us. The woman said, I did not know too. Hey, no, we must eat this child. And that evening, the woman, well, it's no longer miscarriage if it's 8 months, if you know the rules. The woman had a premature birth, an IUD, and then she died. And what's the lesson? Christians, keep your blessings secret. The Lord led them about and they went with 3 witches in that household. The most shameful thing I've seen people preach, well, not the most, I've seen worse things. It's one of the most very shameful things we teach ourselves as Christians. My wife watched the movie and said, towards the end, she said, oh, she was even a Christian herself. You know, like the way they depicted it, say, your God must be powerless, half asleep. He that keepeth you sleeps and slumbers. He's on alcohol a lot of times, so he has a hangover. When the witches are walking, the Lord led him about and he slumbers a lot of times. And they say it is wisdom. That is why, let me just tell you, if you believe those things as a Christian, listen to this. In fact, I know you will say that I don't need friends. Yeah, you don't, because your head is not correct, okay? But what will happen is that you will lose a lot of friends. Because you are going to become very odd, very spooky. No, spooky is not a word of. Very, very abnormal. That's what I was looking for. You're going to become very weird. Your friends will see you today, invite you for their birthday tomorrow evening, only to hear tomorrow that you're in London. Remember, they saw you this evening. Your flight was later that night. You didn't tell any one of them because the Lord led you about and he goes around with a band of wicked witches that he cannot control. I told you my wife's sister saw a relative. I said, long time. Let's just call the relative's name. Mary Magdalene. Say, Mary Magdalene, long time, where are you now? You know the answer she got? You can't know where I am. Nobody can know where I am. You will not know where I am. What did that one do? That one quickly just moved away. Because when mental issue is manifesting, next thing they go slap you for face. Why do you want to know where she is? And it's a normal question. If I've not seen Chibuze in a long time, Chibuze, where have you? Is that not a normal thing? If it was my classmate in secondary school, where are you now? My classmate did the reunion the other day. And one of the things we had to do was tell everybody where we were now and what we are doing with our lives. And these are not young men. They are grandmothers there. Grandfather. I'm serious. I mean, 34th reunion of a class of medical doctors. So it's not even... my daughter just delivered. It's the kind of thing we get. We'll be, mama, grandma. Do you get what I'm saying? Yet we have to line up one by one and tell everybody what we are doing with our lives now. I enjoyed my own. I said, in summary, that I'm a teacher of the word. Because it's a class of both believers and unbelievers. I said, I served the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, he commanded that I should stop in Delta, marry a woman from there, and go ahead to Enugu and settle there. And go and teach the word. That is where I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, by the way, I'm a pathologist on the side. My guy said, I'll tell your CMD, he'll sack you. But that's a fact. This is what I live for. That's the reason why I came to Enugu. And I'm not ashamed to say it online. The witches will come to Enugu. They should come. I'll put them in one party that we are not doing again in Enugu and tell INEC to delist them. That's what happens to you, Christians. When you start believing that nonsense, you become a weird creature. You become weird. Today, a relative of mine traveled abroad long ago, moved over to the US, and the mother heard, I think only a day or two before they traveled. You don't understand. His mother heard only a day or two before he relocated with his whole family out of Nigeria. That was not the painful part. It was what the woman said. He said, oh, I understand. I'm the witch that does not want my son to prosper. That's how she explained her pain. Oh, she said, I understand now. I've been identified as a witch that does not want my son to prosper. You become a very weird Christian. I was preaching in TCC on Sunday. I believe the Holy Spirit put a word in my mouth. You know it's Christmas time. I said, those of you who don't go to the village, see, if it's because of fear, I will shorten your life. Did you hear what I said? Obina is looking like pastor. Why do you behave like this? Because I have to tell people how God feels. It's the emotions of God I'm expressing for you, not mine. I don't care how long you live. I don't. I want you to live long, actually. What I mean, it's not my personal thing. But God told Jeremiah, told Ezekiel, if you fear these people, I will disgrace you. When they ran away from giants, what did he do to them? He killed them. So you may think I'm sounding wicked. Read your Bible, you know what I'm saying is true. They ran from giants, God killed them. So next time they tell you to run, realize I'm more dangerous than giants. Jesus said, don't fear anyone who can kill the flesh. Fear the one that after killing the flesh carries the soul and sends to hellfire. I said this in TC on Sunday. I told them, I say, for every cloth, you know, people who don't give out clothes, it's not as if you are stingy, you are afraid. You know that? Some people, they are not stingy, they are just afraid. See this fine cloth, cheap is wearing, so. After a while, you finish wearing your portion, you know now. You can't wear it till it develops holes. That's against the will of God. You now fold it and keep it somewhere. You enter their wardrobe, It's busting at the seams. But you're not wearing this cloth again, say, leave it there. I know a man. I know this man. Somebody I knew those days. Not recent. He will send those clothes to the dry cleaner, to the laundryman. You know, wash the clothes, pack it back, and he'll file them back inside there. And he's not wearing them again. No, he's not wearing them again. You know, when people are behaving odd, there's usually an explanation you don't know. I used to think he was stingy, and he was. I'm not saying he was not. He was very stingy. But I felt that, this is housekeeping. You know what they call housekeeping? You want to reduce the amount of load in your own house. That reduces the amount of cockroaches, the amount of rats. If allergies, cobwebs, they will reduce when you read the luggage. So even if you are stingy, it is generosity to yourself to let go of old clothes. But he can't because he was afraid. I found out later that he believed so much in witchcraft spells cast on people's clothes. I won't tell you there's another story why I found that one out. So he stuffs clothes in the house, and this guy was a very rich man. He wasn't born again. It doesn't matter. Just to give you a gist, to make Obina laugh. I said some time ago, he's one person that was laughing. There was one pastor that was listening to one of our big pastors in Nigeria now. I won't mention which one. So a relative of mine was playing the message. And he was laughing. He said, this is your pastor, my sweet. He was mocking. You know, the guy was older than me. I wanted to go and tell him that, Oga, I think you have a real problem. You know why? You are laughing at my pastor who wears literally a money suit. He does manicure. He does pedicure. I don't know whether he does pedicure, but no, it's not pastor by Pastor Banky. They take good care of themselves. And they speak with sweet, they don't manufacture English, they speak real English. And you have an international accent, not this Gothic accent I'm using. Enugu accent. They have international accents. And I felt like telling him, and you are laughing? What is funny? You are laughing at him? You know why? I know the Babalawo you bow to. I know him. He can't speak a word of English. Yeah, I knew the man he was bowing to. I'm not saying I knew him. I'd met him before. He had long goatee like this. This was a half Islamic cleric and half traditional juju men combined into, Alpha. So the day I found he was laughing, I'm sorry to say, I was disgusted at what is funny. The pastor I say is laughing at, I'm telling you, if you see, this guy wears $2,000 suits, and you're laughing at him. You don't get goatee. Can't speak a word of English. Stays up at night chanting. One time he had a problem. The man told them to tell him he would drive his wife out before Christmas, and she did, and he did. Couldn't solve the problem for him. He cooked his juju and kicked the woman out of the house. What are you talking about? And you are laughing. You know, the people will laugh at you, you just tolerate them. But you can't finish crawling to a shrine and come and laugh at us that we are seeing ourselves in church. Whoa, the little fire remaining in my mouth. Okay, let me leave it like that. Let me just leave it like that. I've donated. Why not that Obina is begging me? I will have sent it to you. What are you saying? I mean, you can't come out of a shrine where you drank dirty water. We have dispensers. Disposable cups. Have you seen our communion trays? Stainless steel. High-grade wine for communion. Even if on top of it, if I only see will now come upon the wine and change it to heavenly one. And you are laughing at us. For what? You can't laugh. Oh. Of course, you eat lizard. Me, I won't. No. Have you been? No. Don't you go to TCC Love Sunday? Those of you who go to TCC Love Sunday, you know what happens on Love Sundays? Should I announce the Sunday of the month so that you know, it's buffet style eating now. You know, fruits well caught, we are picking. You're coming from one backyard. You slept in graveyard. We don't sleep in graveyard. And you're laughing at us? Let's leave that matter. I just got angry for nothing. Let's leave that matter. This is the man that said, will not give out his clothes. He's an unbeliever. Let's leave him. If you're a Christian and you do that, I'll give him the mind of God. Some of them will now burn the cloth. Oh. Those of you who go to barbing salon or hairdressing salon and collect your hair. Thank you. Because it's as if I'm the only one that uses bad words here. We have other people who are using those words now. I'm not the one that says stupid. Look at who called you stupid, you know. And I just called you an idiot, all right? So there's a thing. You pack your hair. Ha! Satan has a... See, you're under bondage. Satan is choking you like... Don't you feel the drum? To feel the drum. Don't you wake up at night panting? It's Satan. It's choking you. No, not because he has power, but because you have... And you call yourself a Christian. Shame on you. Shame. Please, join me to tell the person shame now. Just shame. You call yourself a Christian, you go, and that's what happens when they watch movies like that. When they watch movies like that, that's the thing now. See, when you believe that nonsense, Christians, you start behaving weird. You go and cut your hair, you are waiting while they are packing it for you. Some women, when they go to the hairdressing salon, they make sure there's a mirror on every side. Anybody that comes near there, it is only them that will cut the, that thing. What do you call that? Those hair extensions. Give the person and they are watching. If the color, if it change, that means they added something else. I said one day, a man came from, you know the way we do in Nigeria, came from abroad. So arriving, you know, gives out gifts, an elderly person, senior person. So he gave me a t-shirt, all right, which he just said, oh, he brought me something, gave me a t-shirt. He misjudged my size, so it was big. Of course, I thanked him very well, but there was nothing I could do with it. It was bigger than me. So I told my wife, the only person I knew around who that thing would have fitted well. I said, God forbid I should give him my shirt. It was painful because, well, you know, you could see his perfect size. I said, I will give this guy, if anything happens, if he drinks a bathroom in the next 2 years, Namikosa. So I kept my shirt. I don't know what I finally did with it. I couldn't use it. It was a gift. The present will have fitted perfectly. I couldn't give him because the Lord led him about, and there are so many witches that he could not control with him. You know, if you are going out and you have many dogs, you are walking the dogs, as long as you can control them, it's okay. But you have some dogs that just tear out of your hand, cross the road, go and bite somebody. That's the Lord. Yes, that's it. The Lord leads these people about. All the witches, he can't control them. So they tell us to hide our blessings. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. If your enemies don't know about it,
He can't prepare a table for you.
Go and read. Where did I get from? He prepares a table before me. See, the enemies are looking. They know. But what can they do? He anoints my head with oil. My cup, do you understand? It's overflowing. The enemies can see it. Two men of God went to pray for one woman one time. The man was very ill. So they prayed for him. The Lord was working and he was recovering. So as they were leaving, they were now telling the woman, the man's wife, what to say. They declared the word of God over your husband. The woman, shh, 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 the devil may hear. And the men were like, excuse me, he's the very person we want to hear. You think God doesn't know what we're talking about? He knows. It's him that we want him to hear. The woman like, nah, calm your voice down. Satan may hear what you are saying. People, when I say we have to get our praise right, people fear this devil. They don't realize it more than they fear God. And that's why they will offend God. But they won't, if Babala would tie his red cloth somewhere and say no entry, they no go enter. But if God says, enter and preach the gospel, they say, oh God, you know, Baba Lao, you know you did merciful. Baba Lao is not merciful. When you don't get your praise right, you become a very weird person. You start misbehaving. You start burning good quality clothes. Things that God commanded you to glean. Give the person who cannot buy. When you're done with using your portion, you will burn it because they told you that that is the one that, just by the way, those voodoo stories you read inside books, they are not true. This is they cut a piece of your cloth and attach it to an idol and they're using it to do you. When they pin you like this, you will do like that. When they do you like this, see, please, I know how spiritual things work. Are you getting my point? See, I know how they work. I may not know everything, but that one I know. Your clothing cannot be used to control you. It has to be a spiritual substance. Do you get my point? Have you heard girls say that they can't hear, I mean, they hear of girls who can't put their underwear on lines because some boys come at night to steal them to go and finance their Yahoo activity. You know what I mean by finance? Spiritually financing Yahoo activity. Have you heard of that before? Yes. In answer, there will not be an epidemic in hostels of girls that cannot put their underwears outside because boys are going around hunting them. Now, do men actually take those things to covens and all of that? Now, the fact is, the answer is yes. But you want to hear the truth? They don't steal them from lines. No. They are useless. They steal them from having hired the girl. She has slept with him overnight, and he takes that token. It's a token. She has committed sexual immorality with him as a way of connecting with his spiritual activity, but she does not know. Then they now start telling you stories that he took my quarter. It is not your quarter he took. It is your soul. Please go and read my book, Worship and Sex Control. See, if you see any babalawo that's telling them, go and bring a girl's quarter from the line. Obina. He's fake. It's fake. You know, half of the babalawos are fake. 95% of the ones in Anambra are fake. That was how Charles Ndoku round all of them up, put them in jail and tell them to... They could do nothing. The man still won the next election. He won every local government the next election. They couldn't do anything. He says the one, they called them. He gathered them. He said, if you have power, escape from my cell. There was one, this kit they posted around. There was one I saw of one guy. The guy's very funny. He doesn't see too well, you know. So as the one was somewhere harassing one person, you have not done this, you have not brought the sacrifice. So the guy came, bumped into this AY, and gave her a slap. That don't you understand that this country is difficult? You can't just be blocking the road like this. Push the woman, slapped her face. This one was like, do you know who I am? The guy said, what is it? He slapped her again. It's comedy, right? But you see, I was very happy to watch it. Because it just proved to the person this one was harassing that there's nothing she can do. Most of them are fake. Now, I'm not talking about whether they have power they don't have. I'm talking about most of them are not even true juju men. They're not. No, I heard a story recently told to me by one of our brothers here. Fact. He said there's somebody from their village or something. So when they want high-ranking force man, let me know whether it's army or police or navy, I don't know, from their place went to meet the young boy. The young boy said to call himself, you know, what they call them? These guys who do... Is it okay? Eh? What do you call them? Dibia. Anyway, he's a self-styled Dibia. He told everybody that he's a Dibia. Just like you have fake churches, brethren, you have fake Dibia. So they call themselves Woki. Now walk. That's what they call a walk. So one high-ranking man came to him and said he's going for a promotion interview. That he should do something. So the young Dibia was the one giving this testimony. He said when the man finished, he did not know what the man was talking about. So he entered the house, picked maybe like a feather or something, came back and told the man, when you go for that thing you are going for, put this inside your inner pocket. And the man thanked him and left. The guy didn't know what they were talking about. He just a random feather he left behind me after cleaning his ear, you know, that kind of thing. He gets to the man. You know what happened? The man went for the interview, promotion interview, and was promoted to a very high rank. So he returned to come and say thank you to the young man. And that's in something like 10 million naira. Did you hear what I said? Yes. The money he dashed in was huge. The young man was the one testifying that, man, this thing is working. No? That man did not know that he did nothing for him. He just didn't know how to tell the man, I can't help you. So he went and gave him a feather, put it in your pocket. What I'm telling you really happened. It really happened. So you know what I'm telling you, the whole story. If they tell you they went to the line and took somebody's underwear and used it to do juju, and that person now fell sick, and then the guy now became rich, I'm telling you it's a lie. And I'm not saying because I'm a child of God. Even if you're a child of nothing, it doesn't work. Because these are spiritual transactions. It does not work. That's what I've been telling you again. Nobody can touch you in the market and use your soul to do... They said you went to a marketplace, they exchange your destiny with that of somebody else in your office. I heard the pastor preach it. I told my wife, this is a fat lie. The testimony is inconsistent. Two women were in the office, somebody came and exchanged their destinies. How will you do that? Even transplant surgeon needs consent. You just sit in your office, they exchange your destiny. It doesn't work. You know, Christians start praying nonsense prayers. You know, say, begin to pray everywhere. They have exchanged your destiny. I'm looking at, excuse me, pastor, are you okay? Brethren, it does not work. You know, I'm telling you really spiritual that I've not come to Christ. I'm not talking about Christ yet. I'm telling you how spiritual things work. It doesn't work. Because in the realm of the spirit, they all have to go and collect permission, authorization. They know. So accusation is important. Where they get power from? Do they exchange destinies? Yes. How? Like this one, they said there are two women. I said, go and check what they have interacted concerning. One of them have foolishly, now this happens. One of them have foolishly slept with the husband of the other one for money or for something. Not knowing that, please go and read my book, Worship and Sex Control. You know, Paul, when he was writing to Timothy about sexual immorality, what did he tell him? Don't do it, oh. Is that what he said? No, please, no. What did he say? Flee. He told him, run. He told him, flee. It was a very strong word. So, oh boy, your life is in jeopardy. No. Escape for your life. You know what Paul said? He that lies shouldn't lie anymore. He that does this one, a deacon must be this. But when he came to that one, he said, Timo. He didn't say resist to. He said, pence. You know what it means to pence? Wrong. Pence, sorrow. Jackpa. Please go and read my book, Worship and Sex Control. That's where they catch people. My wife can testify of this. One day she told me a story about one woman, you know, somebody she knew was talking. I was asking her for counsel and all of that. Can you believe? A man told his wife. He's a very jealous human being. You know, those kind of men that are morbidly jealous. The kind of person that if she sees me on the road, she can't greet me if her husband is nearby. Most of you will leave your husband and cross the road and come and say, "Pastor, God bless you, sir." This one, she go do I like say, you know, see person. Because if I mistakenly greet her trouble, that man is that jealous. Yet one day, he approached the woman and said, "Well, it's not as if he's that jealous of adultery. It's just that he doesn't want her to do it behind his back. So he can arrange a man, but he would like to watch." Now, there are things we hear. Were it not that I have valid information, I'll say it didn't happen. So initially, she thought it was a joke. Is it high on something? You know, when men drink, they start talking nonsense. When they use drugs, they start hallucinating. When they now drink and use drugs, they start, you know, so maybe. Except that he persisted. That was when she now shared this story with my wife. I said, "Madam, please come and see. I'm going through one stuff here." Well, my wife now came home and told me. I laughed. I said, "She's about to die." See, when you hear me talk the way I do, it's not like I don't know those spiritual things. I do. God has given me understanding of them. The only issue is that I started with Christ. So that's why I'm confident. First time I learned as an adult, is what I am in Christ that was taught to me. I just told my wife, I said, I said, "They want to kill her." When you say men are diabolical, that one was. I said, "Let me just tell you, they have tried. And those are, not all these boys who are doing fraud. What do you call them? Ezenwoke and Dibia. Those fake ones. The real ones, they know. And they told him she's not touchable. Why? They told him she's not touchable. Her hands are clean. So the only way he could do it was to defile this woman. In all his jealous listening, the woman was straight. There was nothing. He started to push her. Do you know when I told my wife? She ran back into her car and drove back to where the woman was saying, "My husband said I should tell you, be careful. It's your life that they are playing with." A few days later, I went to the office. One of our guys understands spiritual things. I was just gisting him. I was just gisting your friend. I said, "Hey, see what I said last week. Wait, as I, before I finished, I'll give you his words." He said, "Banky, that man is an occultist. He wants to kill that woman. He has not been able." He just interrupted and said, "That man is an occultist. He wants to kill that woman. He has tried. He hasn't succeeded." I said, "I said, exactly what I told my wife." He said, "Look, this is basic spiritual principle." He said, "This is Christianity not today." That's what he told me. He said, "Is that not today we start?" He just told me, I had not finished his gist. He didn't even know what I said. He just said, "Banky, look, that man is an occultist. He wants to kill that woman." That was, those will tell you that they went and stole water from line. Tell them, say, "You don't know anything. You are going to the market, they touch you. And you are afraid." You don't even have to be a Christian for you to know that that's nonsense. They have to enter you through other things. That's why you have to resist temptation. It's not everywhere you go to. It's not. Be careful the kind of things you get involved in. People say that men are using people for juju. See, let me tell you, most of them, these men that you are saying, these girls, they are giving money. It is their soul that's funding their spiritual power. They don't know. These girls have been emptied out. In the name of the Spirit. They've been emptied out. When she doesn't have anything, they get drop her. It's not money. And they think that they are being smart. They are buying your destiny. They are trading with your blood. And you are hiding quarter inside microwave. Oh, Obina, how did I get your job? Huh? Yes. Let's get back and get the praise right. Don't be afraid. Useless afraid. You know, useless afraid. Useless fear. You're afraid of nothing. You know, as you are growing, you should outgrow some things. For example, as an old person, Christian, you shouldn't be lying.
should be bigger than telling lies. Should be slapping small, small children that do it. In the same manner, there are things you don't even, it doesn't cross your mind. Say, you want to give somebody money. Ah, what do you use your money for something? See, next time you think that thought, no, you didn't say it to you, think it. When you hear, wham, on your face, it's an angel. God says, slap that boy for me. Let him correct his head. And please, let me just tell you another thing. Some people now, you know, they will not say, okay, this was Pastor Frank. He said, let's obey it. You now go and carry a rapper, dash somebody. They will not have malaria the following week. If you are begging for divine judgment, ascribe that malaria to that gift. That is when your malaria will become typhoid, like they say. You know the way those fake people tell us. See, the malaria was so long there, it has translated to typhoid. After typhoid, what does it become after typhoid? Oh no. So it should not become malaria parasite. Ndabuski. The Lord is good. No, see, there are thoughts that shouldn't cross your mind. Someone looks at you funny in the office like this. The next day, you have a headache. You now start linking it. That is when you have migraine. Please, you know, oh God, please, let me preach my message here. Brethren, just outgrow some things. This fetish, superstitious fears, you should get rid of them. You don't let them settle. You know, Nigeria played football the other day. You know me, I don't watch matches much. So, he said Nigeria lost. So I saw one guy say they were using juju. They were doing what did he say they were doing? A lot of voodoo here. They were doing voodoo that it was. Did you hear the guy was doing like? So I didn't even know it was Nigerian coach. So the people I was asking, they didn't know. I did not know. I'm stone not into sports. So I said, who's this guy? Because the accent was funny. He didn't have a Nigerian kind of English, you know, the way Nigerians speak. He had this kind of a man who spoke French. Okay, I now found out that he's Malian. He lost match. He says because your opponent was doing juju. Oh boy, let's be honest. You know Savi play. Everybody that watched that match, I didn't watch it. They said that the guys were even lucky that they entered into penalty. That those guys were supposed to have walloped this nation very well. Yeah, their coach said it's because somebody was doing. You know what I said? You should send him for a course in MFM. MFM should teach him how to overcome juju in matches. Please, such thoughts, don't let them enter your head. Find another explanation that's godly, that's spiritual. Truly spiritual now. Not those fake spirituality. Your auntie comes to greet you. Your child now falls sick. You're not quarreling with your husband. I told you not to let your auntie come to this house. I told you not to let your auntie come to the house. I told you now. Look at the child is now sick. There are thoughts that if they cross your mind, you should flog yourself. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. That thing crossed my mind. That's why a young woman will deliver. Do you know? This really happened. You know who I'm talking about? One of my sisters. This lady did not tell her she was pregnant. She was just teaching in church. Talking about how to nurse things and all of that. If you're a woman, you've been pregnant, is it 5 times or so? You understand? Your youngest child is in university. So you've seen other women pregnant and all of that. You have experience, don't you? You are now a doctor on top of all of that. I forgot that part. And you're a medical doctor. So she was teaching. She noticed that this lady is sitting at the back, that she's obviously pregnant. You know, you just know. So you're talking about how you take care of yourself. You say, like this, you know, just mentioned it. That this woman in church, not in village meeting, in church, the lady got up and walked out. She kept on preaching, nothing, something happened. Now so far it started. How dare she expose her like that? Oh girl, expose you? Did you tell me you were pregnant? No. The way I saw it and knew it, every woman here can see where women was a women's meeting. That's not what pained me most. What pained me most, she busy.
was that she was obeying the counsel of the pastor's wife, the pastor of the church, to hide it. Shame on you. Stars, movie stars, actors, they go to studio and do like this and put it on social media, which is never chopped their own. Don't you see them? They will remove their cloth, baby bump. I'm going to meet you fine to be taking photo. Check up. They will harass you on Instagram, on Facebook. Americans, they announce the day the woman does a pregnancy test. She's an unbelievable woman staying with a man she's not married to. She and her partner wants to tell the whole world she's 2 months pregnant. Yet a church-going Christian woman who nobody knows, if you post her whole generation life on social media, it won't get one like. Your whole family history won't get 2 followers. Yet we can't talk about your pregnancy. And you are not even ashamed of yourself. And you claim to serve God. Unbelieving. No, forget unbelieving. Satan worshipping movie stars will get pregnant 2 months. They will take the picture of the strip and post it on social media. And they don't miscarry. You worship. You roll on the ground. You sow seed. You know you are a seed sower. People like you are seed sowers because you want to plug every corner. Yet, your auntie must not know. Meanwhile, Beyonce, who's a real, if you know what I'm trying to say, knows when that people are pregnant. She can't do anything. No, but please, these movie stars and musicians, they should shame those of us who claim to be Christians. He said, the auntie is not a witch. Oh, it's your auntie that's a witch. And you must hide it from. Okay, let me just summarize it. Shame on you. Let's just summarize it. Shame on you. Don't come to this church again, no? Okay, you say, Pastor, it's not a church. Don't come for my Bible study again. Go and stay downstairs and be streaming. Don't come and pollute us with your own belief. Shame. That story I'm telling you. No, it's nothing. They worked on that girl for months. And do you know what finally happened? The fear, by the time they were done, only those who are medically related will know, that child developed kidney tears. I said, that's what the fear did. They surrounded that child with fear. The child was not normal afterwards. Which verse is we stopping? Brethren, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. As a child of God, you are seated in heavenly places on the right hand of God with Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers. And every name that is named, not only in this world, though, in the age to come, once he has a name, is far beneath you. Your life is hid with Christ in God. The Bible says he has beheld no iniquity in Jacob. What did they say concerning you? He said, no witchcraft, no omen, no divination works against the people of God. That's by a strong man who could talk to birds. That was by a strong man who could, you know, people say that when donkey began to talk, Balaam should have known. Balaam didn't know. Why? He has spoken to things smaller than donkeys before. He had talked to crickets. He had talked to snakes. Balaam had talked to egrets flying past. They brought him news. They brought him information. He could talk to a war gecko. A donkey talking. That was not new. He had spoken to that donkey before. But you don't know now. If your cat does, welcome daddy, you will run. You will disappear. If I get home and my dog says, Pastor, welcome. I say, oh boy, how was it? What did I say? God forbid that I should run where Balaam did not run. Yet this same Balaam, after offering 7 bulls, 7, is it rams, on 7 altars, twice, he said, oh boy, nothing works against these people. Nothing works. Why? He said the Lord did not behold iniquity in Jacob. Everybody say after me, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Say it again. Say like you believe it.
I am covered by the blood of Jesus.
Brethren, that's how we live our lives. That's how we live. That's the life of a Christian. I won't deny my blessing because I'm afraid of you. You say you're a witch. If you're hungry, I will give you food. I will dewitch you, you know? Yeah. If you're a witch, you eat my food. You can't fly for 1 week. Nobody will have to tell you not to come and take my food again. I will give you money. If you spend it, you will repent. They will eject you from the cover. When Christians believe lies, please, they start behaving funny. They start behaving funny. They go to work, they are sleeping because they have to pray at 2 a.m. every week, every day. When they get to the office, they start nodding. Because they tell you that it's 2 a.m. that witches move around. How is it your problem? Am I a witch? Am I an orchestra director in their cover? In peace, I will lie down and sleep. The Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. Which verse? 21. Let's go back to our message. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. Now God is saying what he's going to do. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now notice what he's saying in verse 22. For a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol and consumes the earth with its yield. Now notice, it's a fire that's kindled in the Lord's anger. This fire sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. He said in verse 23, I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destructions. And the teeth of beasts I will send upon them. Basically, I will send plague, bitter destruction, and teeth of beasts. With the venom of crawling things of the dust, which I am sending against them. That's what he's saying. He said, outside, the sword will bereave. And inside, terror. Both of young man and virgin. The nuzzling with the man of gray hair. Because I'm angry. He said, I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men. Which he did to the other nations. Say, had I not feared the reprovocation by the enemy, that their adversaries would misjudge. They would say, our hand is triumphant. Now notice something. He said, they would say, our hand is triumphant because I will have used the adversary against them. So the adversary may think he's the one that's powerful. Said, the adversary will say, and the Lord has not done all this. He said, for they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. That is, those nations, they don't have understanding. Would that they were wise, and they understood this, that they would discern their own future. That is, the adversaries. If they understood, they would have known their own future. They would have said, how could one chase 1,000? They should have thought about it. 2 put 10,000 to flight. He said, except their rock had sold them. God said, me, I will sell them. And that's why the adversaries will appear to have power over them. He said, even our enemies themselves, they judge this. He said, for the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of poison. Their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents. And a deadly poison of cobras. Now, let me go to verse 35. God says, concerning the other nations, say, vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time, their own feet, he said, in due time, their foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is near. And the impending things are hastening upon them. Now notice this, for the Lord will vindicate his people and we have compassion on his servants. When he sees that their strength is gone, now notice this, oh, and that there's none remaining, bond or free, he will say, where are their gods? The rock in which they sought refuge, are the things they used to make him jealous. He said, the gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering, let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. He says, see now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death. I'm talking about the praise of God now. Get that praise right. His people have problems. He said, it is I who put to death, and I give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there's no one who can deliver from my hand. He said, indeed, I lift up my hand to heaven, and say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flaming sword and my hand takes hold of justice, I will render vengeance on my adversaries and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood and my sword will devour flesh. It's God who's talking, not Satan. Who's talking here? The Lord. With the captive of the slain and the captives, with the blood of the slain and the captives, from the long-haired leaders of the enemy. Now look at what he said in verse 43. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and he will render vengeance on his adversaries, and he will atone for his land and his people. Now, please, let me just say this. One thing that's not clearly stated here, if we read other portions of the scriptures, God was saying something. And you go and see it, you read Daniel, you read Jeremiah. It's when his people get frustrated with their gods. They will return back to their own God. They will cry for mercy. Then he will activate his anger against their enemies. No, that's the rule. That's the rule. That's the rule. Now, I'm talking about the praise of God in the midst of troubles. I want us to read a particular scripture together. Brethren, let's stop praising the devil. Let's read this one together. I need us to read. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Hosea chapter 6. We are going to read from verse 1 to verse 3. Hosea chapter 6. Are you there? I want all of us to read together. Because it's the praise of God. It's God we are praising. It's God we are praising. Want to let's go?
Come.
Let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and it will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Let's stop reading here. That's the praise of God. His people had trouble. What did they say? Let us return. I tell you, returning is the key to that deliverance. That is what activates the power of God against the enemy. I preached on Sunday about the day of his power. We quote that all the time from Psalm 110. He said his people will be willing in the day of his power. The Lord gave me understanding as I preached. We were talking about willingness. If you see, read your scriptures very well. There are things that the church will do to provoke the anger of God against the enemies. And one of the things they do, all right, is they drink of the spirit of the matter and they refuse to love their lives even when faced with death. Yeah. They refuse to love their lives even when faced with death. Many of us think that, see, physical agitation will never bring deliverance from the people of God. Never. I pray Christians will understand that. I don't want to start political talk again. See, there's what is called, you know, they came to Jesus Christ. Are you a king? You know what he told Pilate? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Many of us are behaving as if the Lord's kingdom is of this world. We want to join political parties and forcefully elect a Christian. I hope you have perished that idea. I hope you have. Let me tell you my own faith. You can be joining any party you like. That's your problem. My own faith is that the seat, now I'm in Nigeria, so I'll speak from Nigeria. Whoever is president of Nigeria must do me good. My own faith is that whoever is president must do the church good. Even if you came, now, People said, hey, the president has no court. I said, that's your problem. If he went to the court, collected power to become president, emerge as president, and there you agreed with them to obliterate Christianity. Every decision you make will strengthen the church.
Yes.
You didn't plan it, but that's what we will decree. The Cyrus that led the people of Israel go, he didn't know their God. And God said, even though you have not known my name. I don't know whether you're getting my point. God said to them, he said, Balaam, plant cursing for you. I turned it into blessing. You're not getting what I'm saying. The plan Balaam had when he came was to curse you. I compelled him to turn it into blessing. Like we said the other day, people were angry with the progress of the gospel, so they had Paul imprisoned. And that imprisonment became the avenue for the advancement of the gospel. The place where the gospel would not have reached before, it reached it because of the imprisonment of Paul. Say, we'll soon start the election now. Please go and read my book, Let Us Agree. I know many people did not read the last time because they did not agree. I'm asking, see, let me just tell you something here. You can disagree with me again and again. Let me tell you ahead. I am on the side of God. You will be frustrated perpetually. I'm telling you this one now. Come and agree with me. Me, I've agreed with God. If you like, oppose me. I won't fight you. But at the end of the day, you will cry. I will laugh. No bad thing will happen to you. You'll just be frustrated. The things I could have taught you easily will take you 20 years to learn. That you now teach your children who will not also not listen to you. See, Christians, what we need is not political power. What we need is spiritual power. What we need is for God to be on our side. If you ever see Christians form a political party, I ban you, don't join. Just imagine that you're busy and no Bina. Do you understand? They rallied around. They hired Elder John as their spiritual counselor. Which one's campaign manager? Can John campaign for the... If John is your campaign manager, you've lost the election now. But... Reverend Yinka is even better. Yinka can help you write strategies that will not work anyway, but at least he will write it for you. What I'm saying, if you see that coalition, don't join them. Don't join them. Some of the most useless political parties in the world, in Europe, their name starts with Christian. You see, Christian Democratic Party. Christian, they put Christian. Those guys don't believe in God. Once you make that arrangement to seize human power, God will send a lying spirit into the midst of you. I'm telling you, the good Lord will send a lying spirit into the midst of you. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Once Christians come together to form a political party, and they will not join. And you know, pastors are very funny. One day one man wanted to launch his gubernatorial campaign. He invited us, we went there. I don't know where he got the pastor from. They want to do election in Anambra. The pastor is praying in Enugu. I don't understand. So he prayed. The point I was wondering is, did God really send these people? Only at the end, and I discovered that the man had not even done NYSC. And we're there praying that he will win the election that he was not qualified for. If you see the mouth of the pastor, sweet. I can tell you to the hall where we did. I was at the meeting. They invited me, wanted to come and do spiritual planning from political parties. Nonsense. Let me just warn you ahead of time. It won't work. I think I'm talking to somebody. Because that's not part of my message. Obina, is it you? The way Chibuzi is removing his glasses and cleaning his head now. It's not you. I'm telling everybody now not to join you. Do you know why? That is not how Christians get power. It's not. It's not how Christians get power. It is not. Let me tell you how we get power. Let me tell you now so you know. It's commitment to righteousness individually, wherever we go. It's commitment to laying our lives down, even if it says being faithful, even when faced with death. That is when we get power. That is when it's the willingness of his people. That's what provokes his vengeance against his enemies. When they will be committed to righteousness no matter what. See, that is when God, we have even unbelievers, gather together to set you up on his throne. Don't use... I'm talking to somebody. Don't come and intimidate us as if we owe you support because you come to our church. A lot of us want to use their Christianity to mobilize people by force. It does not work. Hey, I'm talking to somebody. I think I am. That's your strategy for the next election. One brother came to see me once. He said he went for election, you know. God sent an angel to tell him before the election. He said, do what you want. You will not win that election. God appoints rulers. So don't think you can manipulate the outcome because you want to use your popularity amongst Pentecostals. You're a member of a prominent church. You will not win. See, not because we will not vote for you. A lot, me, somebody like me, if I like you, I'll vote for you. I can still vote for you even though I don't like you. Even though I don't agree with your strategy. If I like you as a person, I might vote for you. But I think your strategy is whack. It's out of order. However, even if you gathered all the votes, if God swore by himself, you will not enter that seat, you will not. That brother's testimony, who am I talking to? Because I can't seem to leave this matter. It's not really part of my message. That brother told me one day, he came to see me. He was listening to our messages that time from Ebony. He said, listen, he had a dream. He was told, he was running for counselor. He was told what to do the day of election and he's going to win. He didn't have any massive support, nothing. He needed a motorbike. So he got somewhere to take a motorbike, carry him around in the motorbike. There's something he did. Collecting, you know, from every ward. There's a way he did his own personal collation. Let me make a long story short. He won the election, became a counselor. And he was a fantastic person. Everybody loved him. So they told him, run for local government chairman. See, you know that same angel that came the first time, came this time around. And said, the Lord said, no matter what you do, you will not win this election. So he got up. He rejected the dream. Rebuked the devil that wanted to confuse him and stop him from entering in destiny. The Lord said, no, Allah, go and try. His friends came to him. They said, there's one Babalawo, one Dibia. They mentioned the name of a prominent politician in Southeast here. I said prominent. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about if I mention the name, but I won't tell you. They mentioned that man's name, that this is his own personal Dibia, the one he uses. Now let's go there. He looked at them, that you people are not serious. I'm a Christian. I can't do such a thing. So they left. Then they came back and said, we have found a pastor. They told him, we have found a pastor. Yeah, a Christian Dibia. So this our brother, said he now followed them to that man's place. The man prayed and said that God said, he has not done well. The last few years he has been a counselor. He has not been faithful with his tithes. I'm not joking. No. See, he sat in front of me, was telling me this story. I was laughing. He said that the man said he first had to go back and pay God the arrears of the tithes. He said at that time, now, you know, he was a nice guy. You understand my point? This kind of person that spent money, so he didn't have much of it. At that time, he didn't have money. So he said the only thing he had gotten for those years he had been a counselor, the only personal thing he had acquired was a car. So he took the car to go and use to borrow money. Now, let me just tell you ahead of time, he never got the car back. He said the only thing I got for my years of service, that is how God collected it back. He went and used the money to borrow the car to take a loan and gave it to that pastor. And the pastor now began to pray. His prayer must have sounded like the combination of Elder John, Brother Jonathan, and Reverend Inga put together. And Baba Stevo, the man prayed, shook the whole place with prayer. I don't know whether he had another dream or something. I can't remember for sure. But the Lord said to him, do what you want. You're not winning. The day of the election, you know what happened? He won. Oh, yes. Just what? He won. He won massively. You know, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Then something happened. Because we are streaming this, I can't give you details. All right? Details will be sensitive. All right? But I know the details. Some big men were now doing some political manipulation. You know, they were doing calculation and all of that. As part of it, one of them said, to get this thing done, they need... This was before inauguration, that they needed to sacrifice that seat and move to another camp. That is, there's another camp, a political camp, that needs to take that local government seat, which he had already won, while he watched, they canceled the election. The Lord said, I told you, do whatever you want. You're not winning that thing. He said, while he watched, they took the election and canceled it because of political calculation. That no, you can't take it. They are going to do something else. Somebody else is going to enter that seat. His whole community came out protesting. Just told them, just calm down. Because he knew, I talk about the praise of God, right?
Yes, sir.
He knew that's what God had placed him there in the first place. And the same God told him, this time around, you're not going back. See, at the end of the day, everybody calmed down and went home. And he knew it was God that collected it from him. Just like telling somebody that, it's not your sense that's working. See, forget that thing. Back to our message. Whoever I'm talking to, I think you have heard what the Lord is saying to you. The Lord is good. Well, let me preach my message. We read, he said, come, let us return to the Lord. Brethren, what am I trying to say? In your life, even when things are rough, give God the glory. Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. If you lose anything, give God the glory. What is my message for today? Don't ever ascribe anything in your life to the devil, even if it's a loss. Please, I don't care how bad, how terrible, how difficult it is. This is the commandment of the Lord. The Lord is leading you about, and there is no foreign God with you. I give you the commandment of the Spirit. I don't care how terrible the loss is. Thus says the Lord, never give my glory to the devil. Me and the devil don't share anything in your life. I do good, he does bad. Did you hear what I said? You are not divided. If it's good in your life, I'm the one that did it. If it's bad, go and ask the devil. Because I take full responsibility for the good and for the bad in your life. It's not normal faith preaching, but this is the Bible. The Lord is leading you about, and no foreign God is with him. He said, but if it is a thing, if I did, after all, you said Christians have problems because of disobedience. Yes, their disobedience is punished by God. My disobedience is punished by my heavenly Father. Satan does not have power in my life. Did you hear what I said? God accepted full responsibility for what happened to Job, even though we saw Satan running up and down. Are you aware that Job did not know Satan existed, yet he got his deliverance? There was never a day he rebuked Satan. Are you aware that in everything Abraham did not know, there's an individual, or at least not prominently stated concerning him, that he found a way around Satan? I've told you, just get out of Satan's, what do you call it? The only thing he can do to bring you to his terrain is sin and iniquity. And for your information, even if you sin, only God can punish you, not Satan. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Even if you sin, people say when you sin, you leave God's territory and move to Satan's territory. No. You are a child of God. Your Father will deal with you by himself. What we don't realize is his punishment can be harsh. It can be painful. It can be distressing. That's what we don't realize. We think that, you know, people told me that God actually, he only trains you with the word. The rod is the word. Is the word. Is the word. When God wants to correct you, is the word. So that's the problem when you don't read the Bible. Elijah told us clearly. He speaks to you when you are too deaf to hear. He strikes you with pain in your bones until your soul loathes your favorite food. He will withdraw appetite from you. He said you will shrink, your bones will become visible. Please, I'm talking about the praise of God. This is the word of the Lord I brought today. I brought it last week, but the Lord held it. Say, leave it till next time. That if you are a Christian, never give glory to the devil for anything in your life. When Job suffered affliction, you know what he told his wife? He said, shall we receive good from the hand of the Lord and not receive evil when it comes? Christians don't like to accept that it can come from God. If Satan comes to me and shows me the things he did in my life that where things went bad, you know what I'm going to do to him? I'll do like nobody said anything. Don't come and distract me. Who are you listening to? When Satan, what's the name of our guy, Adam, left his place, what did God say? Who told you you were naked? Who have you been listening to? I will never listen to Satan's opinion about my life. I won't. If you come and say, I'm the one that did this one to you, I'll tell you, get out. And if you don't get out now, I will send you to hellfire before you are due. And it's possible. He said, have you come to torment us before the time? I will give that devil the torment before his time. So he won't even try it. I don't care what I lose in life. I will look up to God. You are my father. You are my judge. You are my merciful God. That's the praise of God. You say, no, it's not God, it's this devil. Where was God if it's the devil? That's the question we should ask. But I'm saying to you now, if you are a Christian, if you are truly born again, if you are really saved, if your life has been given to Christ, it is not the devil. It cannot be. Don't let anybody fool you. They saw the witches. See, that thing I was telling you about, I want to tell those guys who made that movie, they should go and repent. They are promoting fear in the body of Christ. They are making Christians miss their praise. The power of God will be empty, will be void in their lives because they are getting the praise wrong. If that woman actually loves that, whatever I don't notice, she should turn to God and say, God, why? You don't understand. I don't care how powerful this devil is. God refuses for him to have a say in your life. He does. Even if you can see the devil carry the thing and go away, ignore that devil and turn to the Lord. What's going on? Then he will put a word in your mouth. He will bring a word of correction to you. You have to understand something. It's not possible for Satan to come take what is yours and doesn't have cooperation, permission from your Heavenly Father. He can't. Sometimes your Heavenly Father is forced to give him the permission because of you giving permission first. In which case, he cannot go against what you have said. But he is still the judge. That's one doctrine a lot of people don't understand. The thing that you're saying, as a Christian, you can't stand your ground against Satan. You can only stand your ground in the will of God. What did they say? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That is what you resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee. As you are submitting to God, that is resistance to the devil. You don't see the church. Check one place where the church is standing and say, Satan, no, no. The only no to Satan is temptation. No, show me a place. Have you not read this Bible? Let me tell you where we resist Satan. Eh? Paul said we are not unaware of his devices. How? Causing division, causing bitterness, causing anger. That's his device. Be faithful. He said Satan is about to do what? No, not sift you. The own revelation. Smyrna. So you're about to be tested 10 days. Be faithful. Even when faced with death, that is how you resist Satan. They overcame him how? The blood of the Lamb. The word of death. Those next line. Did not love their lives even when faced with death. That's what resists the devil. That's what overcomes the devil. It's faithfulness to God. Not laying down and say, Satan, I resist you. I resist. See, just keep away from sin. Keep away from iniquity. Important, keep away from wrong doctrines that tell you that God, Satan, is powerful in your life. Keep away! Does Satan have the power? Yes. In your life? No. In your life, this is the only power he has. Temptation. God granted that to him. He will come. And if you want to resist, I hope you know it's very easy. You know why? You know why I say so? The Bible says God will never allow you to be tempted more than you are able to bear. And with every temptation, he gives what? A way of escape. Say, Pastor, you were not there. This one was strong. I couldn't escape. Should I tell you why? You left escaping too late. Do you get my point? No. See, A lot of people want to resist temptation after actually it had become sin. Please, I don't have time. Go and read my book, Worship and Sense Control. Temptation can always, 100% of the times, resisted. But you know what we like? Don't eat this food, though. God said, see, eh? Don't go for that. Don't eat in that buffet, oh. Don't eat, oh. Don't eat, oh. You hear? You say yes. I'm going to resist. God said, I should not eat. Then your friend said, dress up, let's go. To where? That buffet. And you dress up, and you go. He said, I will not eat, oh. The Lord said, I shouldn't eat. I will not eat, oh. Then you get there. They get to the door. Where's your entry pass? Your friend gives you, and you collect. I'm just going to sit down there. I will not eat. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says, flee eating at the buffet. But you, instead of fleeing the buffet, what did you do? You ran to the buffet, and you now sat down there. And then the aroma of the opening course, you know, the soups and all of that, it fills the air. And you're holding the chair like this. In the name of Jesus, I shall not eat. I shall not eat. God says, see, the moment your foot crosses the threshold, you have eaten. It's when it will manifest that's the issue. Are you getting my point? The man is chasing you. Young woman, you are not married to him. He's sending money and you are collecting. Oh. Oh. Did I say anything? Did you hear everything? Thank you. Do I need to say anything? Please remember what I keep saying. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been eating, when they say bow, would they have bowed? No, sorry, they didn't have to bow. The stomach will bow for them. That's where I'm going. The stomach will do the bowing for them. There's a way you will have eaten the dainties, the fat foods of Babylon. When they say stand, when you hear the trump, before the trumpet sounds, you are falling asleep in front. That is why many people cannot resist. Not because resisting is hard, but they leave resistance till late. The time God gives the door to escape, they don't run through the escape door. They say, let's get there. Let's see that buffet. I won't eat. Let me just smell it. The cook is wonderful. I'm not going to eat. I mean, the Lord said I shouldn't eat. They drop it. So they make it through the first course. They don't eat anything. Then they bring the main one. They say, no. In the name of Jesus, I'm a non-eating Christian. The Spirit of God is upon me. I shall not eat. Then they sit down there. The band is playing. Then the second course finishes. The main course finishes. They didn't eat. Praise God. Then as they are just sitting down, now this hunger will now set in. And the guy that brought them, they can't find him. And they're very hungry. They're starting to just serve one ice cream. The guy will have finished it before. I'm not supposed to eat. He said, now that you have eaten, cuckoo eat. Then they will rewind and bring the main course. Brethren, do you know why you ate? You went. Did you catch that rhyme? Why did you eat? You went. That's all. That is all. Otherwise, the scripture is very clear. God will never allow you to be tempted more than you are able to bear. And with every temptation, there's a way of escape. Usually people have passed the way of escape before they start looking for how to escape. Let me end my message. I'm looking at my time. This is the praise of God. Even in the midst of your difficulty as a Christian, even in the midst of your losses, you know what it says? For everything, give thanks. Let's read the scriptures. Let's rise to our feet. I want us to go. All right? If you are on your feet, it will be that I know you are going. Uh-huh. But if you are sitting down, the way you are sitting down like this, I think you don't want to go home. I will not be feeling sorry for you. I will be feeling sorry only for myself. But if you have your feet, you understand? Eh? I know you want to go home. Too busy. Alpha, do you want to go home? You see what I'm saying? Let them not ask him. He said no, that he doesn't want to go. The Lord is good. Now let's just read a few scriptures together. Go back to that one again. Hosea chapter 1. I want to read those three verses. Let's go. No, okay, let me just wait for you to get there. Are you there? Let's go. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, Like the spring rain watering the earth. Hallelujah. Let me say this while you are standing so that I will not spend too much time teaching. Please, God can change the past. What did I say?
God can change
the past. What did I say?
God can change the past.
We are not saying, okay, just say it. I know you don't believe it. Some of you don't believe it. But just say it like I said it. I said, God can change the past.
God can change the past.
Let me prove it to you. His name is God. If there's anything too difficult for him, he's not God. God can change the past. One of our sisters said something recently. I said, this is exactly what I've been saying. I said, that's when God has blessed you. He said, there was a time I ran away from the Lord. He said, now, listen to this carefully. He said, now I'm happy I ran. Yeah, open up. Yeah, it's surprising. But she didn't know when she said it. I'm happy I ran because now I appreciate him. You don't get the point. That is, now let me tell you the truth. Don't run away from the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Don't run. It's a bad thing. Is there any good in it? No. But having done what was bad, but having been reconciled, God made even the bad thing work for her good. You won't deliberately do what is bad. If you did it, when God finishes blessing you, you will look and say, thank God I did what was wrong. You don't realize it. He just changed the past. See, killing Uriah, was it good? Was it good? Should you suffer the kind of suffering that David suffered for killing Uriah? Who gave birth to Solomon? Who gave birth to Solomon? Thank you. No further comments. Let me tell you how good Solomon was. God personally named him. That is our experience. God sent a name. David had sons, but I'm not aware God named any one of them. This one, God gave him a name. Call him Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Out of that ash, out of that rubble, out of that nonsense that happened in his life, the only king that could replace him grew up. God changes the past. Now, give the Lord thanks. Just take a minute. Thank the Lord who changes the past. You know what I mean now? That thing that looks like it is bad, when God finishes touching it, it will look like the only way breakthrough could have come into your life. It will look like the only way your destiny could have manifested. It will look like the only way you could have known to, you have come to know what you know about the Lord today. It will look like the only way. This is the word of the Lord. I make all things work together for the good of those that love me and who are called according to my purpose. I am working in their lives, but there must be no foreign God. That's what the Lord is saying. There must be no foreign God. There must be no foreign God. There must be no foreign God. That's why the Bible says, for everything, give thanks. He said, for every, you know, before I try to, those days we try to reason around it. How can you say, for everything, give thanks? Now I know, for everything, give thanks. Because the Lord is leading me about, and there's no foreign God in my life. You need to say that. The Lord is leading me about, and there is no foreign God in my life. You need to say that the Lord is leading me about and there is no foreign God in my life. The Lord is leading me about and there is no foreign God in my life.